come what may, I'm headed down the right path. I feel so brave, my head held high, and I'm showing class. Dreams ignited, every day I truly give my best. I'm thriving excitedly to be the very best version of myself. I'm so bold and I'm so brilliant.
Get to know JP Marsh. He's a co-parenting relationship expert. He and I discuss his tips and strategies for navigating co-parenting and applying those same principles to all types of challenging relationships. All right. Well, you are a co-parenting expert, which I thought was really enterprising. Would you mind chatting with me today about the mindset needed to co-parent effectively?
Well, to go from, you know, conflict separation is kind of the path that everybody starts at and wants to get to, you know, more times than not. Every time I explain my co-parenting situation, it's met with, oh my gosh, I wish mine was like that. I wish I could have that kind of, you know, relationship or interactions and all those kinds of things. And to me, in my mind, you know, the sitting together at the school functions, doing holidays around each other, my daughter's in a blended family with her mother, stepfather, stepbrother, but we all barbecue and we all do these things. And it's not weird because nobody makes it weird. You know what I mean? But in my mind, that should be the normal. And the ones that can't even interact with each other when it's in relation to the kids should be the outliers and the abnormal type of relationship as far as the parenting goes. And so, you know, early in mine, it wasn't super collaborative. It was pretty high conflict, you know, same as anything else. When you start throwing emotions involved and, you know, the three, I've figured out that there's three major obstacles for everybody that's sort of going through this. And it's, you know, the first obstacle is you got to change your view of the other person, right? You got to, I say, leave your own pity party a lot. Stop looking at them like they're your ex. Things that hurt you or you hurt them or they left, the animosity, the guilt, the shame, the anger, all these things, because that's not the reality. It's no longer should be your viewpoint that they are your ex or this person or your, you know, combative person. They are the other parent to your child. So you need to grieve that relationship and get past these feelings that are going to obstruct you from being able to see them as the other person, you know, the other parent, more so than the person that hurt you. So getting yourself out of your own way is usually the biggest hurdle. You know what I mean? But once you can start seeing somebody as a person or the other parent more so than your ex, then some of these other things will start to calm down because you're not bringing in these emotions from a relationship that you shouldn't even be, that you should have grieved and got over, you know.
I think what you said about grieving the relationship is something that really sticks out to me, because it does feel like sometimes when it is difficult to move on, when it is difficult to see, I see you as my ex instead of the parent of my child. I see you as, or I see our past. I see what we could have been or what I wanted or these ideals. I thought we would just be this big family, but instead, you know, there's division. And so I'd like that you started this process with like how that perception or that perspective, that viewpoint, changing that lens, you know, but for the sake of the child.
Right.
You know, and so I commend you. You know, like you said, it was difficult starting up. You know, it wasn't so streamlined. You know, who started it? Who started the pathway toward the right direction? Was it like, how did you and your ex come together to say, we're charting down the wrong path. This isn't good for our child.
Well, you know, it was probably a combination of a few different things, which sort of like, you know, finances or anything like that, all just kept compounding, and everything started getting branched out to where everything got a little bit smoother and a little bit easier, you know. For me on my side, you know, the ideal of be the, you know, if you want the world around you to change, then, you know, essentially you need to make changes to change your reality and the way your situation. So when I stopped and really had to like dive into myself and look inward at my actions and my views on things and the way that I was perceiving stuff, once I started changing, mostly once I stopped being so defensive, everything that came up, like I was being attacked, then things stopped really coming up to where I would feel like I was being attacked, you know? So once I got out of my own way and quit being defensive, things sort of smoothed out, because a lot of them were irrational on my behalf to begin with, because I was so wrapped up into myself, or thinking that I was being attacked, or, you know, she was trying to push my buttons intentionally, when most of the time she probably wasn't even trying to push my buttons, or wasn't even like, that wasn't her intention. And, you know, one example is the days during the week when I would be at work and I would be, you know, I'd have my daughter that night. She would usually send me a message some point that day, seeing what time I was going to pick her up or what time I was going to be home from work, or, you know, that kind of stuff. And I would instantly get defensive, like, just because that was my, you know, normal response from the turmoil of the relationship, you know, building up to that point, when really what it was coming down to, and what she was probably really wanting to know, was if I was going to be home early enough to pick my daughter up and my daughter was going to eat with me so she could make whatever she wanted to for dinner without having to plan a meal around a 6-year-old, as opposed to if I'm not going to be there by the time my daughter needs to eat dinner, then she's going to have to make something that my daughter will actually eat. So it really didn't have anything to do with what time I would be off work or what time, you know. It wasn't like she was trying to make me be home at a certain time or be there at any certain time. It was just as simple as she can make fish because she enjoys fish, but my daughter won't eat it. But I would get defensive and then say something and then poke, and then she would poke back. And then you got two people throwing gas on fire that's never going to go out, more or less.
I think it's really noble that you could admit that, like, your fault in that, not fault in like such a negative way, but like that you can hold yourself accountable and say, like, mm-hmm. I was a part of like holding up our progress, and that not only did you overcome it, but like now you've like made it your mission to help other people, you know, kind of mm-hmm. navigate the same thing. What would you say to parents in your situation that have differing parenting styles, and that's like a point of contention for them?
Usually, I mean, you know, as far as my daughter, me and my ex got pretty lucky, because we were raised in a small, more conservative community with the same sort of morals and values. So our parenting styles are similar enough to where we haven't had a lot of huge conflicts, as far as, you know, if my daughter's grounded from this at mom's house, she's grounded from it at dad's house, and vice versa, because we communicate openly and quite often about what's going on. I got lucky in the sense that, you know, normally, or, you know, these are some of the conversations that you probably should have before you have kids, you know, parenting styles, disciplinary, you know, arrangements and those sorts of things. But if you're in a situation where your parenting styles are drastically different or combative, you know, if you have one that's wants to discipline a certain way and one that doesn't agree with that and wants to discipline another way, you're going to have to find common ground, set boundaries and guidelines in that comp, be able to openly communicate the boundaries and guidelines and be on the same page. Because if you can't, it's going to end up, you know, depending on the age range of the children, it's going to end up becoming an issue at one point or another, because if they can get away with anything at mom's house or dad's house, and it's a really structured environment at the other parent's house, when they start to go through the rebellious teenage years, they're always going to gravitate to where they have no rules and can get away with anything and do anything that they want. And if you're trying to raise successful human beings as your children, you need to be on the same page, or else you get pitted against each other. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't, I mean, being on the same page, and even if you have to be a little bit flexible with your parenting style and compromise and have them, you know, hopefully they can do the same if you're both adults and can openly communicate, obviously, then you're setting your children up, because they're not going to bounce you off of each other. Well, I can get away with this at mom's house, so I don't want to go to dad's anymore now that I'm 14 years old. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, mom's house, I don't have any rules, and she lets my boyfriend stay over till 1 o'clock in the morning on the days that she's not even there, you know, whatever the case may be. And these are all, you know, huge conflict points at certain age points when they're in divorced communities, because if the dad's house has a lot of structure and the mom's house doesn't, then all of a sudden the kids don't want to go to dad's house, and nobody makes them go to dad's house.
It's, but I mean, I get there wholeheartedly, especially, you know, if teens or children are going to push those boundaries if they can, you know, so it's like, I'm hearing like things of communication and adaptability and flexibility and all these things. And so I think a lot about like how you could have conflict really with anyone. Like, you could have conflict on your job or with your friendships, you know, and a lot of these same principles kind of apply to like communicating to kind of get, you know, the final, the final goal. You know, what, how can you apply the same principles that you use to navigate with, you know, their ex to raise your daughter together? How would you recommend somebody use those same principles, like in the workforce or with friends that they're having conflict with?
You need to be able to have difficult conversations in adult manners without getting emotional, without being overflooded with emotions, you know? And so if you're not good at having difficult conversations, you know, as far as feeling like you're not getting the money you deserve at work, or you're the punching bag venting friend that everybody comes to just to vent about their lives, and mentally it's exhausting and emotionally wears you out because you're the toxic waste dump of all your friends. Being able to get out of your comfort zone and have difficult conversations and being able to communicate your wants and needs and boundaries with people in a calm, collected, non-emotional, you know, if you have to raise your voice in an argument, you need a better argument, you know? And so most people are afraid to make waves, these sorts of conversations. It's not something that they teach you in school to, you know, stand up for yourself at work or in your friend circles or even to family members or, you know, coworkers and these sorts of things. And so even if you have to start doing these things little by little to build up the confidence, you know, if you're not used to having difficult conversations and communicating effectively, you know, negotiating whatever it is that's going on, don't think that you're just going to be able to go into your boss's office and communicate this raise when you're not used to having these conversations. So you need to build that confidence and build that, you know, momentum or skill set to be able to articulate your wants and needs and boundaries, you know. So you start it low and you start it small with, you know, talking to your neighbor about them overstepping into your yard, or if your neighbor's dog is barking all the time, you know, like that's a difficult conversation. Mm-hmm. You don't do it when the dog is barking. Do it when you catch them outside gardening and you're gardening or mowing the yard or whatever, and say, hey, you know, it's easier when you're in a space of not emotional, you know, headspace. But also when you're trying to communicate those things, especially, you know, especially in, you know, a co-parenting kind of a deal where, like, if you're in a space where it's pretty high conflict and you argue and you're at each other all the time, if something is, you know, bugging you or feels overstepping or feels like a boundary is being crossed or even just bugging you, reframe the way that you explain or change, you know, pivot your argument. So instead of getting mad and say if the person's late all the time at pick up and drop off, so you're sitting in the parking lot of somewhere for 15 minutes every time because they're 15 minutes late, and you always jump on them about being late. Well, it's in one ear, out the other, because they're always getting it that from you. So then the one time that they show up on time, praise them for being on time. Say, oh, you know, I really appreciate it when you respect my time that you show up on time, because I, you know, schedule the rest of my afternoon around this drop off pickup or whatever the case may be, and they'll be more receptive and you're getting the same result, but it's not conflict because you're setting them up to want to collaborate with you. If that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. I agree that positive reinforcement, you know, can do so much more good than, you know, riding a wave of emotions or, you know, arguing or being combative. I wholeheartedly agree with that. So, you know, as you're helping people, you know, navigate these conflict, communication, things like that, you know, who are your ideal clients, you know, that you would be able to coach? Like, who do you look for? How do you look to help people in your own way?
Mostly it would be people, the hurdles or the roadblocks, you know, going from a high conflict situation to a, you know, and there's something to be said about just being civil, you know. I mean, you may not get to a place where you're doing barbecues and being able to sit with each other at school functions. And that's just, you know, but being able to communicate wants and needs and give the information to the other parent gives the information to you without being at each other's throats is something to be said. But it, you know, male or female, the same things kind of pop up, you know what I mean? Grieving the relationship, not engaging with the other person if they are trying to poke at you, because the less you give them that reaction, the less likely they're looking for that reaction. And then setting boundaries is just something everybody should be doing in all aspects of life. And, you know, with the boundaries, the double standards kind of plays into that. You know, don't stalk them on social media if you don't want them doing it to you. You know, if you would get upset about something, they're going to get upset about it. You know, don't do it to them if you don't want it done to you. If it's, you know, you get called into the school and you'd be upset if they got called into the school and didn't tell you, then you should tell them, you know, that kind of stuff. And usually it's people that are probably, you know, 3 to 5 years behind me in the same journey that I work with, you know, the newer, within, you know, a few years of getting divorced or splitting up or finding this new reality of being a single parent, or have been sort of in conflict for 3, 4, 5 years. And then empathetically, I can understand and see the pitfalls, though my daughter, it hasn't quite reached teenage years. You know, my daughter's only 9. And so a lot of the school stuff, sports stuff, you know, I haven't gotten into the boys, the driving, the mean girl, high school atmosphere quite yet. But for the most part, up until that age, you're running into a lot of the same things. You know, you got the dance recitals, you got the school functions, the dating, you know, the dating as a new single parent, and how that sort of becomes a, it usually strikes a nerve with the other parent, even if they're already dating or remarried. You know what I mean? That's a, it's a bit of a one to navigate successfully without a bunch of conflict.
I think that there's so many subtopics that it sounds like you would really be able to help a broad range of people, like, you know, depending on like what level or what area of their walk or their divorce journey or the breakup journey is. If anybody watching is interested in just chatting with you or booking you or working with you to kind of navigate like those highs and those lows of like separation, but still, you know, still, you know, kind of with this person, you know, for the long haul, as right. you raise your child, how do people get in contact with you and kind of follow your journey as well?
Mostly on Instagram. Okay. I don't love social media. It's not a favorite thing, you know, but Instagram is usually where people can message me, you know, if they have certain problems or situations that come up, like, hey, this is this, you know, they kind of explain it. Then I can put some thought into it and I'll usually respond and kind of come back and be like, well, you know, sometimes, you know, I support people, but ultimately we are who we are, but our kids are still shaping. And so even knowing I'm working with the adults, it's really for the kids, because growing up in chaos is not going to help your child succeed and be healthy when they become an adult. And I have a lot of empathy, and I have a, you know, I'm not the rah-rah cheerleader type coach. If you're the problem, I will tell you that you're the problem. You know what I mean? If this situation sounds like you're being the problem, I will tell the people that they're the problem. And so, like, but I'm not, you know, I don't mean that in a rude or disrespectful kind of way, but, you know, the first hurdle is really looking at yourself in the mirror and trying to figure out if maybe you are the problem.
I mean, it sounds like you're being really honest, you know, and mm-hmm. I think that honesty is going to help people be vulnerable and open to, you know, right. constructive criticism. Like, if your goal is to be better, then I want to be honest with you so that you can be better. So I wholeheartedly get that. And I hope that, you know, that this video and many more of your others encourages people to reach out to you. And that way we just, for the sake of our children, you know, that we just become better people, better humans, but also raising better humans as well. So JP, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. Learn more about JP Marsh online on Instagram.